Welcome back to another episode of Books Closed.
This episode is sponsored by Lucky Supply and River Valley Printing Co.
Thanks for joining us again. Today we broadcast to you from beautiful New York State. Not quite the city, a little bit upstate. And we are in the studio of today's guest, Chris O'Donnell. Thanks for joining me today.
Thank you.
You probably have some insight on the topic of social media and the internet and how that's come into tattooing and shaken things up a bit. How long have you been tattooing?
I started tattooing in 93.
93. How old were you then?
17.
Are you from this area? Where'd you grow up?
I'm from Richmond, Virginia.
Oh, okay.
I moved to New York in 2000.
When you started tattooing, there was no internet, really.
Basically, no one was using it for tattooing.
Right.
Billy Eason. He's the guy that did like the conventions. He had a website, and Paul Booth had a website. That was about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you look at those websites like all the time?
No.
did you have a computer in 93?
No. I didn't really have a computer until after I moved to the city. After 2000, maybe 2001.
Yeah. What motivated you to get on the train?
My friend Michelle Tarantelli, she just kind of talked me into buying a MacBook.
Because at that point, we weren't shopping. We weren't... getting all of our interactions and everything from a computer. So it wasn't really that big of a deal.
No, it wasn't. I had no use for it other than digital photographs. Like I was starting to get into that for tattoo photos.
Right.
So I needed a place to, put them.
Right.
That's about it.
Right.
I didn't even email yet, really.
Yeah. You didn't have an inbox full of prospective customers at that point. Things were much simpler back then,
yeah,
I imagine.
Better in a way,
I mean, I've only been tattooing 10 years and I can already feel a difference from then to now. So I can't imagine starting in the 90s, the changes that went from then, because I grew up on computers and the internet.
Mm-hmm.
I got AOL when I was 10 years old. I remember.
Oh, wow.
I almost remember the day. It was election day. The year was, it's going to make me sound young. The year was 1996.
Wow.
I was 10. My sister was at school and I had the day off and my mom got America Online. And she let me on it first. And from that moment on, I was cemented as a user of the internet.
Hmm.
I thought that my life was just complete at that point. I could sit on a chat room and just chat to strangers. And that's all that the whole world was about. Have you ever had an experience like that?
No. I mean, I basically...
I'm shocked.
No, I mean, we would get those discs all the time in the mail and I didn't know what to do with them. Just throw them away.
Right.
The AOL free 30 minutes.
Right. I can't imagine how much money they must have spent making those discs.
Oh, my God.
They must have gotten a huge return on it, or they would
have
stopped.
Right? Yeah. When I got my laptop, I could already get a signal from our neighbor's apartment. Like, it was already, wireless.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So, I was pretty late to the game.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, also being in New York, that people are a little ahead of the curve, too. So, if you're behind, you're going to feel like you're really behind unless you get back up on it.
Yeah.
What was your first experience with social media? Were you on MySpace?
Yeah, I was on MySpace. I remember Friendster, but I wasn't on it. MySpace.
That's what everyone has said on this podcast so far.
Yeah, I remember people showing it to me. I mean, no one is seriously using it for anything important, but not like they are now.
Right. Yeah, you can't avoid it now.
We did MySpace when I was at Adorned. It just was kind of the obvious. I don't even know why we did it. It wasn't like we were trying so hard to get extra work via MySpace.
Right.
I don't even remember why I got on that.
It was just a place to put your stuff.
I guess. I don't even remember much about it. I was on it as much as anybody else.
Right.
I don't remember the exact structure or, anything. But
yeah. I think that was the first social media that led people to believe that maybe this was going to turn into something bigger.
Yeah.
Because that was the first time you had internet celebrities that were just known for having a ton of friends, which was a totally weird and new concept.
That's true. Yeah.
And now that's the main currency of the entire world.
Yeah.
And unfortunately also tattooing.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways. It kind of shows your worth because it used to be just all the books that came out. I would buy all the books and they had different collections of artists and their work and interviews or whatever it may be. And to me, as a younger person just starting to get tattooed then, that was the catalog of the people that mattered.
Right.
And now it's so convoluted. I feel like anytime I have a customer who says, oh, have you ever heard of this tattooer, this guy or this girl that's doing really amazing tattoos? And I've never heard of any of them that they ever tell me, because there's just so many. And they're all good.
Mm-hmm.
But they all kind of do, it's all like weird European traditional weird stuff.
Yeah.
What's up with Europe? I've never been.
That's a, you haven't?
No.
It makes more sense when you've been there.
But what is it that contributes to that kind of, I feel like it's a very specific kind of different in tattooing?
I trace it all back to Philip, really, like him just being a free spirit and deciding to not do anything traditionally, just to make something up, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that coupled with their disposition artistically for centuries, it just made for a unique look.
Yeah.
For sure.
And it's funny that younger tattooers in Europe now may not even know Philip. They may not know any of the people. So it's come full circle, and it's grown beyond the original.
Well, that's the weird thing about these days. Social media totally, I mean, you could start tattooing 5 years ago and still not know who Philip was, you know, because you have this little thing in your phone telling you who's popular, or, you know what I mean? Like only these people matter. And if you, any of your background, if it happened before the internet was in full use, it doesn't exist to them, to the younger, you know, millennials or whatever, like younger people. And so there's all this stuff that happened, but they'll never know about it because it was, you know, it was like in books that are just kind of scattered around now, and, you know, they'd really have to seek it out. Now it's just like, well, who's here now? You know, it's like, it's really strange how it's almost like the Dead Sea Scrolls or something, like a whole part of history just got kind of washed away because it wasn't.
Yeah. Because it's not in the library of the internet.
Right. Yeah, it's really strange.
That is weird how someone like Philip could come onto Instagram today, and there would be probably a large number of younger people that are like, shit, you hear about this new guy?
Yeah.
Have you seen this stuff? I don't know where he came from, but he can put on a back piece.
Or they might even be like, I don't get it. I don't think it's that great. Because like, who knows what people like anymore? You know, a lot of his power is not only the tattooing, but his whole persona and the whole background of just, you know, seeing him come up through the years and just totally doing all these super unique things.
Yeah.
You would remember those things every time you saw a new piece from him. Mm-hmm. But now if you see it, you might not get it. You don't have any background to it. Yeah. And that's what a lot of these photos on Instagram lack. There's no context.
Ding! A quick editor's note. We are talking about tattooer Philip Liu, as you may have deduced.
Bing! Yeah. But really, someone like Philip and the whole family, they would actually, I think, do really well these days if they were, you know, if the internet was available then. To have a story like that, I think, helps people connect on the internet. And if they had a YouTube channel, or, you know, it's funny to think about that.
Yeah.
But if they had a YouTube channel, or if there was like a Vice series or something like that about them, I think people would be totally interested because of that.
Yeah, definitely a Vice thing for sure.
Yeah.
It's the kind of like the classic thing where they're so unique and interesting, but if you went to film them, eventually you're just going to be seeing them working 10 hours a day, you know, sitting there drilling pigment into people, you know?
Right.
Yeah. It's the problem with the reality show thing where you have to like create all this drama that doesn't ever exist. You know, how often do you fight with your coworkers? You know,
between every appointment, it's the only way to stay awake through the day. Really.
Well, if you're being filmed by a reality show, they'd force you to fight even more.
Right. Yeah. So one thing actually I wanted to talk to you about specifically, is kind of in line with this, that, larger scale work in Japanese tattoos, I feel Instagram isn't the right platform for that kind of work, because larger work, the impact in a little tiny square that you're scrolling past, it's not the same as a little small one shot, simple tattoo.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, you could show me the top 10 paintings of all time, you know, and if you show them to me on my phone and throw in some like essential oil ads or whatever, like five or six, I'm not going to really be taking it in anymore.
Yeah.
You know, you show a back piece that took 50 hours to complete, and you can just scroll through. You might notice it for a second and come back and look, oh, that's cool. And then you've forgotten about it 10 minutes later because it's gone, you know, unless you screenshot it. And anything really good, I screenshot and save.
Right. You know? Yeah, you got to.
Yeah.
I think everyone
does. It's so easy to burn out on that feed. I don't even look at it anymore. I have like key people that I go search for. Yeah. And, you know, they're all like at the top of the list. I just, you know, see what they've posted and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of people complain about the algorithm, but in some ways I kind of like that the people that I interact with or that I follow their stuff more closely, those are the people who are actually at the top of my feed, which is the whole point of it.
Yeah, that's true.
Which is cool. But then you don't see, you know, some people do get lost in the shuffle. But I mean, as far as showing larger work, what do you think the best venue for that is, other than seeing it in person, obviously?
What's the best venue for that? I mean, I guess like a large format book, you know?
Yeah.
Unless it's a website with, I mean, I don't really know, like in person, it loses so much if you can't see it in person.
Yeah.
But most people can't, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that question.
Maybe there is no answer.
Yeah. I will make it my life's purpose to answer that question.
Okay. When you figure it out, let me know.
It is a good question, though.
Yeah, I mean, I guess that's true of any art. If, you know, a large scale painting from one of the greats, seeing it in person is a whole different experience. You know, to see it up close and see the texture and the subtleties and all the things in it that get lost, even on a larger scale print of it or reproduction or whatever. It's never the same as the real thing.
Yeah.
And just to know that you're standing in front of something that artist who you probably respect greatly, like they actually put the paint on that canvas or whatever the medium may be. It's pretty powerful. And that's a lot of, I think, what gets lost on the internet.
I remember going to the Salvador Dali Museum and seeing some of that stuff in person, and it would be like super gloss, you know, super smooth. And just to be able to see, like, the lighting was perfect. I mean, think about how much work goes into just setting up a proper gallery to exhibit artwork.
Yeah.
And then think about it as a little square on your phone and what's lost so much. You know, it's not even, to me, I don't even look anymore. It's not even worth it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And like you're saying before, just the oversaturation, I think it's just too much.
Yeah.
And I think a lot that I justify scrolling through social media because I'm saying, well, I'm looking at tattoos. I'm looking at, you know, I'm learning or I'm taking in things or seeing new things. But at a point you're just not.
Yeah. It's not even enjoyable anymore. I remember being in high school and one kid would get a skate video, like the rich kid, you know, and we'd like, oh my God, he has that video. You got to see it. And it would become so important to see it. And then he'd finally loan it to you. And you'd get it for the night, you know?
Yep.
And you'd probably watch it 100 times, you know, just get as much of it. And, you know, and it was so valuable and so special and so intriguing. But now you can just, anything you've ever, like any, you know, hardcore show that I've ever wanted to see, I could just Google it and, you know, YouTube, and it would be there. And it's just, it loses so much. I don't really envy younger kids that can just access everything, anything, whenever they want, because there's no, it's got to diminish the power to it.
Yeah. Because everything's greater until you have it, I feel. With the material thing.
Yeah,
you know, if you're longing for something or you want something, or when you're a kid and you save up for a new bike or whatever, once you get the bike, it's great. But then you have it.
Yep.
It doesn't have that same thing. So I'm sure that goes in line the same way, where if you can just type something in and it's there, then, you know, it is what it is. It either hits you at that moment or it doesn't.
Right.
And then if it doesn't, you'll probably never see it again.
And you'll forget you ever saw it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that about music a lot too. It's got to be very hard to stand out making music now because it's just so oversaturated. I mean, tattooing's one thing, but compared to music, it is like a smaller pool of people making tattoos than making music.
Well, I always think about tattooing now being like music in that, like we were talking about before, there was the magazines. You go like first of the month, magazines are out. And you knew you were going to see like two or three good tattoos, you know, out of seven magazines, you know, but it was worth it. You know, you'd be there right on time.
Mm-hmm.
and if there was somebody really noteworthy, you would have already heard about them. You probably weren't going to be surprised by the magazine. Like, you know what? It was that tight. It was that small of a scene. But now it's like music where, I mean, there's styles I'll never even know about in tattooing. And I'm a tattoo artist. Like, you know what I mean? Like if you're like, you could be a musician and play a certain type of music and you have other favorite types of music. And then there's other types of music that you'll never even know about because it's too many people playing music, too many different styles. And tattooing has become that to me, where it's like, you could probably name three or four different styles I've never even heard of, because it's just too vast. And it was never like that before.
Right.
And it's just so strange to think about, like, now, because it used to be all like subcultures, like, you know, if you get into tattooing, if you weren't a biker or like a merchant marine that just got out of jail, you know, or whatever, then you're probably a skater kid into like the punk rock hardcore scene. Like so many of my friends my age that tattoo. And, you know, so it was like a subculture thing. And now, like, it could be like, oh yeah, I was rollerblading one day and I decided I didn't want to be a graphic designer anymore. So I got, you know, an apprenticeship, you know, you're like, there's so many people that, you know,
so you're blaming rollerbladers.
Yes. That is the key problem.
Yeah. I didn't want to say it. It's controversial stance to take on it, but I do appreciate your bravery.
Yeah. Someone's got to say it. Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like,
that's so true.
You know, you could be from any walk of life and do it. I'm not saying that's a bad thing.
I think in a lot of ways it's a good thing, but I can see coming from an earlier time in tattooing, it's hard to swallow.
It's not like, oh, I can't change with these times. This is too much for me. It's just that when you remember how cool something was and then you see it systematically diminished via the years with all these outside influences, you know, capitalizing, but it doesn't just have to be that. That's the only reason outside interests are involved at all, is to capitalize. But it's just like these people from outside of the, what used to be a subculture, tattooing, come in and changing it and manipulating it and then attracting all these other people that, you know, like, it's just so different now. It was such a different thing, but you can't lament that, you know, you go crazy.
Right. I think it does drive a lot of people crazy.
Yeah, it does.
And if we weren't so busy tattooing every day, I think a lot of people would probably quit by now.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Luckily, you can get lost in the actual day to day in a good way, I think, to ignore all that stuff. But
I purposely do that. Like, this place for me, besides just being so close to my family, being able to see them more and not commute into the city every day.
Yeah. This place is how far from the city?
It's 45 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So for the listeners, we're in a very nice small town with a lot of massive houses with big yards and a lot of beautiful landscaping everywhere. And I parked my car on the street for free right in front of this place. It was great. And there were like three spots in front of it that were also open.
Yeah.
It's awesome. And you would never think that a great tattooer was just right around the corner. What's the front business in this building?
It's a diner and then Italian restaurant and it's down a courtyard, so it's pretty private. It's not good for retail, so they love having me here.
Yeah, it's perfect.
Because I don't need walk by traffic.
Right.
But yeah, for me, this place, aside from being close to my family, is that I can, you know, I jokingly say I'll like recreate the 90s here, you know, where it's like a 90s safe zone.
Yeah.
But all I really mean is that I can, this place can be what I think tattooing is, or what I like about tattooing.
We should be smoking cigarettes in here right now.
I know, the yellow ceiling. Yeah. No, just like the style I do, the style that I've always loved to do. And no, like this is like the most graphic-y thing you'll ever see here.
the glove box.
Yeah. But other than that, you know, no, Monster Energy drink graphics.
Yeah, you don't have a Red Bull fridge in the drawing room. No. If you need that extra jolt.
You know, just hang up artwork that kind of I relate to and inspires me, but you know.
Yeah, it's got a good feeling in here, and this huge wall of your drawings behind me is pretty impressive.
Thanks. But if I make this my environment, then this is what tattooing is to me, as opposed to if I look at my phone every day and think that's what tattooing is, that's what it's going to seem like to me. Mm-hmm. And I can basically trick myself into thinking like, oh, this is the cool stuff still exists, you know?
And it does, because if you make it, then it exists. And if this is your reality, then that's really all that matters.
Yeah. And then a lot of younger tattooers come and get tattooed all the time. So,
yeah.
You know?
And it's probably a much different experience than other shops they've been to and other tattoos they've gotten.
Right.
Yeah, I just hope that the younger tattooer, and I'm speaking like I'm 50 years old, but I hope that people younger than me continue to get tattooed by people like you, because that was always my most valuable experience as I was learning. Even just little stuff. Like, I remember I got tattooed by someone years ago, and he was breaking down his machines after, and just the way he like pulled his needle out of the tube to break down his machine was something that I didn't do. And I was like, why don't I do that? And just like little, even little stuff like that, not even always the art and the application and everything.
Yeah. Just being around someone like Ed Hardy or whatever, like when he was tattooing, you can gain so much through osmosis. Just there, you know, you get a sense of something different. It doesn't even have to be that technical. It'll just be like a vibe, you know, like a way they approach ideas.
Yeah.
And you start to soak it in and it changes you. And that stuff really changes you, you know, like how just to see someone approaching something in a different way, but you have to see in person.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what I'm realizing I enjoy about doing this podcast a lot is that I get to soak up a little of the juice. And, and like I was explaining to you as we were setting up that I don't have to go through the anguish of actually getting tattooed.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
So I can come hang out here for a couple hours and then get all charged up on it and be stoked. Mm-hmm. And I don't even have to sit through the pain.
I mean, for me, it's important to like have this environment because, you know, I have all these memories of all these ideas of what tattooing is. And I need to preserve that and pursue it that way. But you know, I'm not going to find it on Instagram. And it really, I mean, I get really depressed when I look at the popular page and just see like, it's just like face tattoo after face tattoo. Nothing against face tattoos, but you know, like it's just,
it shouldn't be perceived as commonplace.
Yeah. It seems like it is. And that's the thing about Instagram is it'll make you think everybody is getting their face tattooed now, you know, or yeah, whatever it is, you know,
mm-hmm,
where everybody has like pink eye injections or,
yeah, you know. I never thought face tattoos would be anywhere close to mainstream.
I know.
I just
it
never
wasn't
expected
supposed
it.
To be. It's supposed to shut people away from, like keep people away from you.
Yeah.
I thought.
And I think that's still the hope of people that are getting them, but they're like 19-year-old kids and they're not very scary.
Mm-mm. No.
I was listening to something and they were talking about the younger generation of rap, like rap musicians right now, and how that's just the thing, having really crazy loud style and the face tattoos, it's almost a prerequisite. And they were saying how the same song and the same person will get four times as much attention if they just have face tattoos and like pink dreads or something.
Oh, that is so weird.
It's so weird.
Back in the 90s, you thought, oh man, stop getting your faces tattooed. You're going to, you know, the politicians are going to shut tattooing down because they're not going to, they're gonna, you can't be trusted, you know?
Yeah.
You got to stop doing this because you can't, you're going to, you know, tattoo your face all day, you know, but now it's just the most normal thing.
Yeah. It's weird. It's weird to do that when you're young and not realize that you got a whole life ahead of you, a long life that you're not going to be the same person in 10 years, 20 years. It kind of makes me sad when I really think about it. And it also makes me feel like a very conservative person as a tattooer to have these opinions, but I don't know.
I just always wanted to be able to go to the grocery store, you know, without every time having a conversation about tattoos or, you know, how much or all that stuff.
Yeah.
I would see it, you know, you walk around like Jeff Whitehead. He's got like, you know, back in the 90s with the hands and neck or people like that. He'd be buying supplies for a tattoo convention and I wouldn't get hassled, but they for sure would. And they were like the least people that wanted to, you know,
yeah,
like Lehigh or those guys are just like,
right.
I don't want to talk to anybody, but they were, you know, they were magnets for it.
Yeah, it's nice to be able to shut it off, and I've always subscribed to that as well.
Yeah.
It's cool to be like the tattoo guy, but I'd say 85% of the time it's definitely cool not to be.
Yeah, I'd say at least that.
85. Yeah, I'm sure in a place like this, it's probably nice to not be tattoo guy if you don't want to be.
Yeah, although it's becoming the I am, because it's like, you know, it's unique. Wow, there's a tattoo shop here. And we knew everybody beforehand, but then with the studio, and they did a big write-up in Bedford Magazine, which is like the big magazine here, like Martha Stewart on the cover, you know.
But I think the fact that this isn't just some another like walk-in shop with like a ton of people cranking shit out and being loud and standing outside and being rowdy and stuff, I think that you're a pretty approachable face for tattooing in a town like this.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Which is cool.
Yeah. No, nobody's complained. So.
Yeah, I can't imagine they will.
No,
do you play real loud rap music in here?
No.
So being so close to your family here, do you find that it's harder or easier to balance work and family? I just took a real hard turn on that, but I'm curious.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's been quite a... we've been here since 2011 now, so it's been a while. Yeah, it's been kind of difficult to be away, you know, go to the city, like commute in the city all the time. So I scaled that back. But now it's like, you know, I feel guilty if I'm here, but then I feel guilty if I'm not here, you know.
Yeah.
I know my kids are playing right now in the backyard, you know, when I'm working, and it just feels like, well, it's daylight out. I mean, maybe I should just finish up early and get home, and then I can come back at night. And, but then, you know, it's just like it's actually just as hard. It's better. It's a lot better, but it's just as hard as commuting all the time because you don't know where you're supposed to be if you're not actually tattooing. Yeah.
Is it pretty much once you leave the shop, then you're at home? It's not, no work follows you home?
I've gotten a lot better about that. Like I only do emails here. That's how I schedule everybody. I do it all myself. And then as far as drawings go, I mean, 80% of the stuff I can either draw on or draw it right before, you know, and if I have something really hard, I'll know in advance. So I can figure out some time to come at night when everybody goes to sleep. So that's pretty easy, but to not bring it home with me. But you never know. Like it's really hard just to be here and like, okay, I know they're home right now, but I've got to do some extra work tonight. You know, it's really difficult.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
That's the stuff they don't prepare you for in tattoo school.
I've yet to go to tattoo school.
Really?
Yeah. I did the old, like old fashioned apprenticeship thing at a biker shop. So that wasn't even real, you know?
Well, no wonder you don't have a Red Bull fridge here.
Right.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break and we will be right back.
This episode is sponsored by Lucky Supply, offering all the gear you need to zap some sick-ass tats. Machines, needles, ink, shop supplies, and beyond. Check out LuckySupply.com to find it all. Did you know Lucky's also has a tattoo museum in Largo, Florida? Make a trip down to level up your history knowledge by seeing an amazing collection of paintings, flash, machines, and other mementos from some of the most important classic tattooers that you trace off every day. More info can be found about the museum at lstattoomuseum.com.
Hey, Amber.
Hi.
Did you also know that this week we're sponsored by River Valley Printing Co.? Take those paintings you've been working on and get some high-quality prints made. And while you're at it, get some stickers and pins made too, because your customers love stuff. When you do a tattoo, you only get paid for it once. But when you make prints, you get paid for it over and over again. It basically feels like free money. Get ready for convention season and get your merch game tight this year. River Valley Printing Co. will certainly get you there. Check them out at rivervalleyprintingco.com. And where on Instagram?
River Valley Printing Co. That was weak. This week, we are also sponsored by River Valley.
I mean, if you're not browsing Instagram, you're no longer on MySpace. How do you find inspiration to do anything?
Well,
let's talk about just drawing. For example, if you're just drawing for your own benefit, like to have something to put on the, is this all stuff that you have not tattooed that's behind me?
Yeah.
So if you're just drawing something that you want to draw, what's your process?
Well, the thing is, like, and I always say, like, if I'm looking at something like Instagram, or if I'm looking at photos of, you know, I've got a ton of photos on my computer, like 30,000 photos I've collected through the years. A lot of them great. I mean, that's why they're in there, because they're great. They're like all Eddie Deutsch work or Trevino work or Ed Hardy work, you know, so I have that stuff to look at if I'm ever in a slump. But what I find is that if I look at that stuff too much, or if I look at something like Instagram, I'm looking at other people's imagery. I'm looking at other people's ideas. I'm looking at their output, and it blots out the things that come from, like, you know, my subconscious or whatever. So if I'm not looking at that stuff and I'm kind of clear, then I'll get these like quick little visions in my head. I'm like, oh, that'd be cool. And I'll draw it. That's when it's effortless. That's when it's fun. And it feels just totally feels natural. But if I'm looking at other stuff, it's like Cool Keith, he said one time, you know, if you're listening to somebody else's music, you know, you can't have your own in your head because you've got theirs in your head. You know, so for me, like shutting out a lot of that stuff. Yeah. If if I have a client in the chair and we're like, oh, let's work out this different tiger position, I might look up some reference real quick. I got a lot, yeah. You know, that gets you out of a bind. But that, you know, that's what I always notice about, again, the 90s is like, you know, guys like Eddie Deutsch and Hardy, and they would just like, someone would say, I want a tiger tattoo, rib, you know, knee to armpit. And they'd be like, oh, cool, cool, cool. But how can we make it different? What can we do to it? You know, what can we add to it to make it like epic? Like maybe add this to it and we'll have this in its mouth and like, you know, lightning cutting through, you know, like they would just go crazy with it to make it really powerful. And now it's like, it just seems like there's a lot of safe approaches out there. You know, people want to be safe. They want a good reaction. They want to know they're going to get a good reaction. And that, you know, becomes likes and followers. But
yeah,
back in the day, it was like, the riskier, the better. Let's just go crazy and make something powerful. So I try to, you know, David Lynch, he says something like, inspiration is like a door over here where every once in a while, the door will open and they'll give him something. And if he uses it, they'll open the door and give him something else. But if he doesn't use it, it'll just stay shut. And it's true. It's like you get these ideas, but if you're not sitting down to draw them or you look at somebody else's thing and try to draw their thing, then you're just going to dry up completely. That's my philosophy. If I can just not see too much, then I can see the other stuff that's there that, you know, mm-hmm. that is unique. I'm not making it up. It just happens to be floating around somewhere.
Is that a way that you've always felt, or can you remember a time where you kind of turned a corner from having to use reference more heavily as a crutch and then you could actually have your own voice?
Well, when I first started tattooing, everybody, like I said, was trying to do something different. Or it's like you weren't going to be like, oh, I'm going to be a Japanese style tattooer. You'd go, oh, I'm going to do a Hanya mask, but I'm going to do it like different, you know?
Chrome.
Yeah, chrome. Well, you know, like that's like the bad end of it. But,
right, right.
Yeah, but you know, the idea was that I'm going to do this tattoo thing in my style, whatever that is. I'm going to make a style along the way. And it's not going to be like, oh, I saw so-and-so's thing and that's based on this thing. I'm going to do that. That's it. That's all I'm doing. You know, it was like, let's just try stuff. And so it was like a really creative time. And I think back now and I think that I never really, I liked Japanese stuff. Like I liked when Eddie Deutsch would do it. Cause he would do like a big giant mermaid, you know, holding a whatever, like, you know, big crazy thing on fire. And then he would do a big Hanya mask with a snake, a Japanese snake. And it wasn't like he was trying to be a Japanese guy. He was doing all kinds of stuff, like a big Alex Gray woman with, you know, see-through skeleton. So it was just like another cool subject to do in his style. And that was always my main inspiration. But then like Horiyoshi 3 started to be published. All those books came out on him. And suddenly there was a very large volume of the right way to do a Japanese tattoo. And that's great. And it's very important. But at the same time, it was like stifling. You know, it's like, okay, if I do a Japanese thing, it has to kind of be like this. And it just totally, that's what I was saying about Philip earlier. Like he saw the rules and said, I don't want to do the rules. I'm just going to do it my way, which I really think is great.
Yeah.
And he was he's a truly unique visionary tattooer. But then, Horiyoshi 3 stuff came out and everybody was like, okay, I guess we have to do it like this. Next thing you know, a couple of years later, you're kind of just doing all this really strict, overly referenced stuff and not trying to be him, but you're afraid to veer off and try anything different because it's all Japanese stuff. You got to pay it respect.
Right. Do you find that just kind of goes back and forth all the time from very loose to very strict? Have you seen waves mm-hmm. of that come or is that just the one?
No, it seems like anybody that does Japanese stuff now is like by the book or they're totally wrong, but they want to be by the book, you know?
I feel like that's where everyone wants to start.
Well, I mean, I'm thinking about the people that I really think are pretty good at it. They seem to really get a strictness. You know, it's hard not to get into the Japanese stuff and then it's hard not to gravitate towards the 60s, 70s, 80s, you know, like the really like tough stuff. I mean, that's just the best, you know, but at the same time, I don't really want to emulate that stuff because I'm not a 90-year-old Japanese gangster guy, you know, like I'm not Japanese.
Yeah.
My favorite stuff is when like, you know, Ed Hardy puts a tiger head on a shark body, you know, and puts roses there with a bunch of crazy water. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, that's just like, I get the difference. I understand the value of the really right, done right, super legit stuff, gangster Japanese stuff. I mean, it's amazing. It doesn't really get better, but I'm more excited by the other stuff, which is, I used to always call California Japanese, you know, because it was like San Francisco style, Tattoo City style.
Yep.
Of the
90s. That's a good name for it. I like that.
Well, I think maybe Ed called it that, yeah. California Japanese.
Yeah,
but
that's cool.
To me, it's like, it immediately goes, oh, you know what it means, mm-hmm. if you know.
Absolutely. No. I feel like in your work, it stands out, not in flashiness, but in, I don't know. It's hard. I was trying to think. I had this conversation with myself as I was driving here to figure out what I would say about what I've always seen in your work. But there's a quality to it that definitely stands out. And in the context of social media, if I scroll by, I know that it's a skull you did or a dragon or anything.
Hmm.
It's just cool. It just looks cool.
It's hard for me to see what it is.
I know. Yeah, I'm sure.
Like there's a Horiyoshi 2 style dragon head on the wall. There's a Ed Hardy dragon right there. You know, there's wacky Hanya for no reason other than I just felt like drawing. Like just, you know, like sometimes you got to like, you get so strict, you know, you get caught in that trap and then you just want to like take a brush pen and just start making shapes again. Because then you get, you know, you get so, okay, this is where the mouth lies and this is the line for the nose. And you got to like throw it all away and just start. You know enough about what a Hanya is supposed to look like to try to capture the vibe, but you know, try to get some of the angles in or something, just something that makes it yours again, you know, like some of the weird skulls. It's just me trying to like get my hand in there more, you know, and not just look at an actual skull and try to render it, you know,
mm-hmm.
I just want to express a style again. Cause I got really in kind of like a stage of like not really knowing. I don't know. When you get kind of out in the weeds like that, it's hard to really know what you're doing anymore. And you have to kind of step away and like relearn to see what your work is. And yeah, it's kind of a trip.
Yeah. So how do you do that? How do you know if you're on the right track or not?
The drawings that completely pour out effortlessly. It's weird because I always thought like you have to work for everything. You know, you got to really sit down and struggle. And I did that for years. But if I'm struggling on a drawing, I just don't have it. If I can't just draw it like line, 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 the shape of it, you know, and it's like, because if I can't draw it just line for line, just pretty quickly, then it's not going to have energy because it won't have any of like the initial power that I see in my head. You know, it just won't have it. If I'm just, I don't know how to draw that leg. Let me look at some reference and I'll draw a leg from that. And then I'll draw a leg from this and a head from this. That's just like a composite thing that you could do on the computer. You know, anybody could do.
Yeah.
If you don't have like some kind of like feeling to put into the drawing, then it's, you know, you could just trace it out of a How to Draw Animals book, you know, you might as well.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, if it's coming out effortlessly, if I see it out of nowhere, almost fully formed. I can't trace it line for line because it's a blur, but it's still the power of it's there.
Mm-hmm.
If I can just get that kind of notion on paper real quickly and loosely, then it, you know, it's just like, it just comes out so easy. You know, sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's like not there at all.
Have you ever drawn on an iPad before?
I've tried it. Yeah. I have an iPad Pro.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, well, you know, I need a computer anyway. And I'll just get that. And Zach Scheinbaum, who else? Different people were showing me all the, you know, virtues of it. And I was like, okay, I got it. And I got Procreate and played around with it, but I just don't like the way it feels. And I like to have the artifact of the paper left over.
Yeah.
I've got boxes filled, you know, and for them to all just be on a thing now, like everything else in the world just bothers me. But really, I just don't like the way it feels. And I think it, like what I was just explaining, it goes contrary to that. Like it would make me tighten up and draw smaller and like not, you know, like I draw way too big all the time. I have a tracing of a rib or back and I'm drawing a thing like, you know, a third too big because I'm just like trying to get like power into it. And I think that would really counteract that. But it's just not like the way it feels.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
I think the true value is if you're working in a street shop on an iPad.
Right.
The ease and just the efficiency of it is great. But I think if you really are trying to develop and work on, you know, custom drawings and ideas and stuff, it may not be the way to go for everybody.
Yeah. Oh, if I did walk-ins,
it's the jam.
I mean, they all do it at Kings Ave. They all use it.
Yeah,
you know, sure. I mean, that would no brainer. Like,
yeah,
it would cut to time down into nothing, you know, almost. Yeah. But for what I do, I mean, I only do this stuff.
Right.
You know, I only do my style and fun subjects these days.
Mm-hmm. What if they made an iPad that was like 3 feet the size of an actual back piece and it felt like paper?
Something about the pin on the glass. I just don't like it.
It's different, yeah.
I just don't like it. And I try, you know, I was like, oh, when I go on vacation, I can just draw a bunch of small stuff and blow it up on a copier and trace over paper, you know?
Yeah.
But I don't know. I sit down and it's just like, I'm not into it. You know, I think it's a great tool. I mean, I'm not against tools,
sure.
You know, even Instagram. I'm not against Instagram per se. I think it creates its own value. But for that one, I still try it periodically. But
yeah, I can see that if you've got your process kind of set in stone and you're comfortable in it, then there really isn't a reason to deviate from that, especially when it comes to drawing.
Yeah.
If you can do this on paper, why wouldn't you? That's
right.
To me, that's like the finish line.
Yeah. And I do like for 18, 20 years now, I've been drawing with marker, like marker brush pens. So I'll just take tracing paper, rough out like real quick sketch with the light color. Then I'll go with a slightly darker color and like do it again, a little more refined. And then I, you know, put a piece of tracing paper over it and I get a more refined version and it's done. It's so quick and simple. And another thing is like if I do have to look at some kind of reference for something, to like go search it out and then draw it up and then put it up on the corner and it's like, it's already encroaching on the space that you're going to draw on.
Yeah.
To me, I would have my iPad next to me and like, there it is. All right. You know, so I don't know. It's not for me.
Yeah. I feel like when I started drawing on an iPad, it actually helped me loosen up a bit.
Hmm.
I kind of had the opposite experience. I've had a hard time overcoming my left-handedness as far as like being messy and smudging things and like, you know, doing even layer and layer of tracing paper, which I did for a while. It just, something about the iPad, it made me less inhibited.
Huh.
Just because I know I could just wipe it and start over or do whatever.
Yeah,
I don't have like piles of paper next to me and everything.
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of pluses to it. Like you can just fade something, like you can draw and then fade it out so you can trace over it easier.
Yeah.
And then you got the layer. It's in, you know, Photoshop, it's right there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's done. Yeah. I mean, there's definitely pros, like pluses to it, but.
There's probably a middle ground that would be perfect for everyone.
Yeah.
But what's the point?
Yeah.
One or the other. We're splitting hairs here. Yeah. I feel like a lot of people are critical of iPads. I think your opinion on it is pretty logical and it's kind of what I expected. But some people get so enraged by it and they think that it like does the work for you almost, or that it's cheating. I don't think it's really cheating personally.
I don't think it's cheating. I mean, if you're tracing everything, then you're just tracing everything. You don't get the benefit of
which you can do with tracing paper anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. And you don't get like the benefit of like creating something new. And that was your choice. You know, it's just a tool that's good for a lot of things. I don't really get why someone would be upset by it.
Yeah, me either. I feel like it's an opinion that I hear or that I see people writing about that they're like...
Or that's like cheesy or something.
Yeah, maybe. I think people just don't like change.
Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. I wonder why.
I think people feel threatened, and I'm sure it happens all the time. Like, oh, you have this machine that makes the stencils for you? Stupid kids. Why would you ever want that? We make them by hand. We, you know,
etch them in. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I think it's just another version of that.
Huh. Yeah.
When someone feels like they're being left behind, they got to blame it on something. It's
right.
Not because they're just not doing anything.
It's like Sailor Jerry. He was a super techie guy. Like he would have been probably, they say he would have been into all these advancements because it's, you know, interesting. He was into computers and stuff, you know?
Mm. Yeah, it's interesting to think how people like that would play into how things are now.
Well, it's like the rotary, you know, and then, the, you know, there's like, for me, I do get like, there's the Shagbilt, which I use, but to me, it feels like a machine. you know, and it puts it in twice as fast and it heals twice as smooth. It doesn't swell. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And then you got the regular rotaries that are quiet, and that's kind of weird because there's kind of takes something out of the tattoo process for me, mm-hmm. but I've used them before and I was like, okay, but I don't really like them. And then I use, you know, a lot of coil machines, of course, but then there's like the wand thing or whatever. I don't even really know what it is.
Have you ever used one of those things?
No, I haven't even seen one in person.
Me either. I'm not sure they actually exist.
But people have been talking about it. And I was talking to one guy and he's like, I tried it. I was just going to try it and I can't stop using it because it works so well. And I'm like, there's no way. I just can't. It like crossed some kind of cheese line for me. You know what I mean? I can't get past like the, I can't just like hold this little.
Well, let's say you did use it. Which color would you use? I'd go with like green maybe.
I would definitely match it to the tattoo, you know, just for the
overall. I'd match it to my shoes. Right. You have to start wearing like really loud basketball sneakers and matching them near your whatever those things are.
Yeah, I don't know. I have that. Like, I don't care how good it is. I just cannot be holding a wand and like, you know.
Yeah, I think it appeals to a certain type of person.
Yeah.
People like to customize or like have cutting edge shit all the time.
It's funny. I always talk about Eddie Deutsch and Ed Hardy and those guys. But for me, I started in 93. You know, I was like, and I started working with Timothy Hoyer. Luckily, within 2 years of starting the tattoo, he moved to Richmond. So suddenly I'm working with him and I'm going to San Francisco and going to conventions and I'm hanging out with all these guys and I'm seeing them in person. And it was just like the cool factor was through the roof. I mean, everything was just so cool. It's what attracted me to tattoo, what really made me fall in love with it. You know, guys like Eddie, like just dark tattoos and gold Rolex and, you know, like ohm, like, you know what, like ohm necklace and like prayer beads with motorcycle grease on it, you know, like whatever, like yeah. My imagination, you know, just gnarly, but like, and like the gods and gangsters kind of thing. And all this, like, you know, Eastern calligraphy matched with all this cool stuff. It's just everything about them in Tattoo City was so cool. They're like these dudes. Just
like every cool thing just collided and exploded.
I know. It was like a, you know, unbelievably cool, you know?
Yeah.
I remember one time my first trip to San Francisco, me and my friend Dave Boisneau, we went to stay with Jeff Rasher and they were building 222 at that point. And he was doing like painting the flat and they did these collaboration sheets that hung on the wall. Each one, as it got big, higher on the ceiling, got bigger so you could see it. And he was working on this big one. He had spilled like black ink on it. Like after all the other guys, Eddie, Scott Sylvia, you know, all those guys,
whoops.
They had finished their part, you know, and he fixed it by putting it was like a kind of plane. So he put a little bomb underneath, you know, but he's like, oh, Eddie's coming by. And I had never met Eddie. I'd see him in person, and sure enough, this motorcycle, this super loud black Japanese motorcycle thing pulls up and here he comes. Like, Jeff lived in an old bank and he had like a courtyard with like a cinder block wall and a gate. And he just hops over the gate and he's just like this hulking guy. And he's like, hey, what's up? And he was just picking up a couple of shirt designs, like the 222 shirt designs. But I was just like, man, I don't see that now. You know what I mean? Like everybody's just like got their head down, like drawing on their device and, you know, they got their sticks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it does exist, but I don't see it out in the regular world, you know, and it, you know, it was
that just, might have been true back then too. You were just at the right place at the right time.
Yeah, but it just seemed like tattooing, and I wasn't one of them, but it seemed like tattooing attracted guys that had a background, like some kind of prehistory to before they started tattooing.
Yep.
And it just, they brought that stuff with them when they started tattooing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's just like, oh, I don't know, I guess I'll start tattooing. And, you know, I graduated.
One of the options out of art school now. People are like, oh, well, I like to draw. So, I mean, obviously, I got to be a tattooer.
Yeah,
it's a great
job.
It's
on TV. Yeah. You know? Why not? You know, like, if those guys on TV can do it, you know?
Yeah.
I could do it. But yeah, it was just a different thing. But, you know, like, it's just so hard to convey that kind of vibe that was around at that point. And what made tattooing special to me and exciting and... I was saying the other day, I was like, I'm not sure that I would be attracted to tattooing if I were just young and like saw Ink Master, because there's nothing in my mind, there's nothing cool about it. There's nothing on present the way it's presented on that show. I have zero interest in what they are doing. You know, I don't have anybody particular in mind because I don't watch the show, but I've seen it enough to go, this is like some of the more cheesy aspects of tattooing all just displayed out on television. And that's not what it was, you know, it's just such a different thing now.
Do you think it could return to some of the old ways once the TV, you know, the life of these TV shows is cycled out? Maybe some time passes.
I don't know.
It'll probably take a while.
I like maybe post-apocalyptic, you know, when they get the drinking water back, like squared away and people start like making art again, you know, that kind of thing.
Tattooing just to survive.
So you know which, you know, tribe you're with.
Right. Yeah.
It's like, can music go back to being, you know, just mainstream and punk rock, you know, or
that's true. I guess it's just
kind of gone. Like you can't really, like I said, you can't lament these things. You can't just go, I wish everything was the same. I'm just lucky enough to have been there when it was this cool, really cool thing. And you know, what makes it uncool? You know, like, that's what I mean. Like if you kind of create your own little world, it can be as cool as it was here for me, you know? I don't, you know, it doesn't have to be that lame to me because I can just like, I got good books and I got my memories. I got drawings that I'm doing. Eddie Deutsch can come work here, you know? So it still exists in little tiny places.
Yeah.
And there's other people that it exists in, like Lehigh, you know, like he embodies that, like that old thing where it's like, you used to do big gnarly work and just be as creative as possible. And everything looks different. That was a big thing. Like I always say, like you would hear somebody be like, oh man, I saw this Marcus Pacheco tattoo and it's amazing. And they would describe it to you. And no matter how much they described it to you, you wouldn't know what it looked like because everything always looked different. Now everything always seems to look the same, you know, like, oh yeah, so-and-so did this big tattoo on someone. I'm like, okay, I pretty much know exactly what that's going to look like. And I'm probably right. And that's not even a bad thing. I'm just saying it was like an age of creativity, you know, there was no point to doing anything unless you could try something different. And I was never really good at that. I'm better at that now, you know, but it's taken me 25 years.
Right. Well, that's why it's so cool.
Yeah.
Because you can't just stumble onto that sort of ability.
Yeah. It's almost like they don't even know they're doing it. You know, it's just like natural and like you couldn't force it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of what fuels people is to have their thing or their style known. And that's all that they need, whether they have a feeling towards it or like a desire for it or like a purpose.
Well, if it's a style that gets them attention, just like, you know, just like a band that hits it big with their first album, they're like, that's what we're doing because we hit it big, you know? And then they've got this like issue of like trying to like do the same thing, but better instead of being like, well, no, let's do something radically different because that's where we want to go. It's like, no. We got to recreate our album sales or our popularity. If you start posting a couple of tattoos that make you, like, make everybody freak out, then you're going to develop a attachment to that freak out, you know, and try to like, well, what did they like? Well, let me think. Well, what did I do? Let me do it again and see if it worked. You know, like, that's no way to live, you know. You got to just be completely detached from that outcome. Only think about what the client wanted, and if you serve them in a good way, then you're good, you know. But if you're starting to think about like the mass of opinions out there and like how to trigger the best response from this, you know, brain sack of, you know, nerves, it's insane. Like you'll drive yourself crazy. You gotta be complete. I always say, like, if you're too popular or if you have too many followers on Instagram or too many people like your work, you're not doing anything particularly interesting. And I particularly don't really care for color portraits. I can be impressed once in a while, like, oh, wow, it's really technical, you know, but I don't think they look that great. I don't think they're going to age that well.
They're tattoos for people who don't like tattoos.
I say that too. Like they're exactly for those people that go, I don't even like tattoos, but I would have that.
But that's beautiful. My grandmother even loved it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the thing, you know? I probably shouldn't name names, but there was a guy tattooing in the city for years and he didn't have tattoos and he was super popular, charged extravagant amount of money, and celebrities were getting tattooed, but everything he did, like the little postage stamp,
you know, I remember.
Yeah, portraits and stuff. And it was all stuff that was not going to age well and was super silly, but would impress people that didn't like markings. You know, I don't want black markings on my skin, but I would have this little guardian angel painting in miniature on my, you know, my upper arm.
And what do you think motivates people like that to get tattooed at all?
I don't know.
Or do people just feel that they need to get a tattoo? I mean, now I can see that, but maybe like 15 years ago, I don't think it was that same pressure, because now everyone has a tattoo. So I can understand that it's just like a herd mentality.
I don't know. I don't know why they would say, like, if you don't like tattoo time, you know, all this, like those Thai prayer tattoos and stuff, all those markings, just like the rawness, all half the stuff in there is just like a crude marking. And I just love it. That always like really attracted to me. And I feel very lucky to appreciate that stuff. But if you don't like that stuff, and I mean, you know, you see people all the time getting like these super slick comic book graphic, like shiny, you know what I mean? Like, it's like arms of comic book page, you know, but it's like the slickest graphic comic book page, you know?
It looks wet.
It's like, yeah, like, why do you, like, you don't like tattoos, but why do you want it on your skin, you know, if you don't like tattoos?
Because everyone wants to define themselves by what they like, because that's the whole internet. Is we're curating what we like, and that becomes our identity.
Yeah. Yeah, you're showing your, you know.
Which in a way is what people have always done, just in different forms.
Well, it used to set yourself apart. Like, I'm this because I'm not that, you know. But now it's like, no, I'm with you guys on this one. Like, this group I'm with, like, let me show you, you know, via my feed.
My Tumblr whatever. Blog.
Yeah. It's like, oh my God. And then it's this imaginary life.
Right.
You know, like, it's like the fishbowl thing, you know, like, it's like you have to be on your phone to even know that world exists. But if you go outside without your phone, there's a whole different world out there, you know, and it doesn't, it's such a strange thing. Like, people,
but
are just,
that world sucks.
Yeah. Well, it's all nature-y and stuff.
Yeah. You know, it's like gross.
Yeah. There's bugs. Yeah.
I feel that since everything is so accessible, that even though there are all these different pockets of styles and stuff, they're just growing up. There was like the punk rock kid in school, and then there was the athletic kid in school, and everyone kind of had their one thing. But I think that now a lot of people have a lot of things. And in some ways I think it's really cool. And I always draw music comparisons, but I feel like a lot of music genres and like popular music and stuff, it's so fused. Like, pop, like country music is just pop music now with a Southern accent, and like hip hop music, they're all wearing like skinny jeans, and it's like total fusion of like different subcultures and all this stuff. So in a lot of ways, I think it's kind of cool what that oversaturation can do, aside from the fact that it's oversaturating us. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that it can have a great impact on art and on music and on culture.
Yeah, I feel like that stuff always happened. It would just be like a tiny little handful of people here and there, and they were really unique, you know. And now it's like a group, you know.
Yeah, maybe it's more accepted now, because maybe those people were just like the weirdos, and now it's like cool to be a nerd because there's video game conventions and stuff.
Yeah, and there's money to be made.
Yeah, I guess that's the difference, is that you can, with the visibility of everything, then the money comes pretty close behind.
I feel like there's always going to be, just like people like reclaimed wood and stuff, you know, like, you know, it's just like, there's always going to be people that, let me look for something a little more legit, like a little more, like everybody's doing this stuff, but there's got to be something a little more meaningful, or let me look back into, you know, the history of all this stuff. And there's always going to be people that are naturally, there's people that listen to Minor Threat, you know, kids that like, you know, still every once in a while, you know what I mean? Like, there's someone that's like, it just has that sensibility, that disposition that makes them want to look for something a little more, you know, real and less fed to them as the next thing they should be into.
It's because they have cool parents.
Yeah.
Are you a cool parent?
So far. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's a lot of Minor Threat going on at the breakfast table at your house.
I mean, I always think about like, okay, she's my older, I'd love to homeschool our kids, but it's not quite an option yet. But I'm like, all right, as soon as the teachers start hassling my daughter, you know, she's going into the kindergarten, like, you're like, what did you ask him why you have to do that? Like, you know, like really make her like the, you know, not just swallow everything, you know, that they say. Like, why does your teacher think that's a good idea? So we'll see how that goes.
So I have a game prepared.
Okay.
Would you like to play a game?
Sure.
Okay. I don't have a quirky name for it. Last week we played hip or shit, but I couldn't think of anything that was as snappy as that. So I'm not going to try. Maybe when you see the edit of this, there'll be like a cool graphic or something, but
hope so.
I need more time. Okay. So, this is all based on BuzzFeed, which is one of my biggest inspirations, not in tattooing, but for my video projects. So a brief overview of what BuzzFeed does is they make videos where they just key in on things that are popular or polarizing or anything. And then they make these videos about them that are meant to appeal to everybody. And they get 3 to 10 million views a piece. And it's like this crazy thing. So since tattoos are so hot right now, they make a lot of tattoo videos. I thought it might be fun. I took some clips from various BuzzFeed videos and I isolated a statement or two from them. Some of them I have to censor so it doesn't give it away. But we're going to try to decide if the clips are from a video that are about tattoos or about something else.
Okay.
So we'll start with one. I'll give you a freebie first, just to wet your whistle.
I'm either going to look really badass or look like a wannabe hipster.
So, I mean, a lot of these, they could go anyway. This
right.
is, you know, but that one to me, that certainly seems like it could be a tattoo video.
But I don't think it is.
I think this one, some of them I have multiple clips. Here's another one.
Some of my coworkers were just intimidated by my new look.
You look like you could beat me up. If you were walking down the street, I wouldn't fuck with you.
So, I mean, these are a bunch of dorks who
right.
got jobs out of college working for BuzzFeed. And they have to make these, you know, these amazing videos. So now the epic conclusion of this round. This video is called, I Covered Myself in Tattoos for the Day.
Mm-hmm. Holy shit.
Very convincing.
Can't get over the fact that how real these look.
He can't get over how real they look when there's like a hard line on each side of all of his tattoos. And he goes through and shows all the people in his office and they're like, I'm really feeling that neck tat. And then he like FaceTimes his mother and tricks her. It's a very exciting ride. Okay. So now it's time to take this game very seriously. And
all right.
I'll show you this clip and then I will get your thoughts.
Especially for women is like so taboo. Like women don't. But that just makes me want to f*** more.
Let me give you options. Do you think that this video is about tattoos? Is it about people taking a special kind of pill? Or is it about a certain kind of hairstyle?
Pill.
It is. This is from a video called We Took Pills to Make Our Fart Smell Like Flowers.
Farting, especially for women, is like so taboo. Yep. Like women don't fart, women don't poop. But that just makes me want to fart more.
This is really insightful stuff.
It's excellent.
I'm sure you're going to go home and just watch all these BuzzFeed videos because there's nothing better to do to spend your time with.
What makes your job, you know, different?
We mainly target clients that get detailed.
So this environment.
Yeah.
It looks like a tattoo shop.
It does. Or like a car detailing spot.
Yeah. Like the set of Pimp My Ride, maybe.
Is that an ATM machine?
That is an ATM machine.
Yeah.
There's toolboxes. There's skate decks on the walls. There's like big metal garbage cans.
Yeah. It's either tattoos or cars.
This video is from $15 haircut versus $500 haircut.
Worlds in a sense. Damn, man. It's like normal from the front, but from the back. It's like do the right thing, and it's boys in the hood on this side.
That's pretty good.
Wow, this is a whole new world.
I know. one of my personal favorites.
But it's kind of like paper cut level.
I hate paper cuts.
I hate so it's not as bad as you would expect. Yeah. I mean, you have to be focused to be able to do it. It takes so long and it's a little bit grueling, so it's kind of like a labor of love.
So this video, is it about tattoos or is it about eyebrow threading?
Eyebrow threading.
You would think that because this clip, there's three women sitting in what appears to be like a lounge or living room kind of area. There's some plants. There's some like holiday lights like a dorm room might have. This is from a video called We Got Hand-Poked Tattoos.
Ah.
It's like a trend now.
Even with machine tattooing, there is an element of sort of like technology coming into the body and the artwork. And when you take that away, you get something that's a little bit more, I don't know, precious, a little bit more special.
Now, I've been just dying to ask you, do you agree that when you take technology out of tattooing, is it more precious?
More precious. I think so. Just precious, though. It's right. Not better. It's not more valuable. It's just more precious. It's not more accurate.
I mean, if you could see her work, you would know that precious is what it's all about. I just so happen to have a clip of that work.
Let's see it.
She does this in her apartment in New York City.
Oh, God.
Which I'm pretty sure is illegal. Don't they have very strict regulation on that?
I guess if she has a license, maybe she could, but...
In her living room, though?
She does. It's kind of loose.
I mean, I guess if she's on BuzzFeed, I would imagine this video has at least 3 million views, so the jig would be up by now. Check out this masterpiece here. She's doing a sun-type design on the sternum of the first victim or client.
Oh, God. Oh!
Yeah, it does.
They're on her couch. She's holding her big fluffy pillow while she gets tattooed for comfort.
Wow, so they get the random nerves too with the hand poke.
Oh, God. There's something about that hand poke. I don't know what it is.
Well, it was loud.
It's precious. It's definitely
precious and loud.
I just don't get... Because the women that are getting tattooed in this video, they have other tattoos that were clearly done, you know, the real way. So what would attract a person to getting a tattoo like that? Especially on the sternum or like on the, I think the other one gets it on her forearm. Like these are very visible places.
I mean, it's the opposite of what we were talking about with the, everything has to be super slick. You know, it's like, well, I like markings, but it's just so, I guess it's, I don't know what to say about that.
I know. I'm trying to figure out the allure. That's like, I feel like that's my life's work is to define what draws people to stupid shit. I can't figure it out. Although...
Well, it's cutting edge, right?
Right. But how is that considered cutting edge?
Because...
But it totally is.
Yeah. But just most people aren't doing it. And so they can be unique in their...
Right.
Their method.
Until they go to some shit town like upstate New York, like around where I grew up, and they see that everyone has shitty right. tattoos and there's nothing precious about any of it.
Yeah. It's all the bubble, the New York bubble or you know, right. city life.
Yeah. I guess that kind of sums up hipsters.
Yeah.
But I think it also could be to do with the contrast to what we said before about larger scale work, just not having the impact on a square on your screen that floats by. Whereas that, it's like very high contrast. It's very minimal.
Well, it goes with outfits. You know, you could wear anything with it. You know what I mean? Like you can't, if you have like a big blue, green,
it's like permanent jewelry
sleeve, you know, of flowers and stuff. You got, you know, you've got to match your outfit to it, you know. You can't wear, even a guy like, you can't wear like a, you know, a teal polo t-shirt, you know shirt with clashing color tattoos.
Right.
You might have to remove that out of your wardrobe. But if you get these little doodads, you know,
see, these are things you don't think about until it's too late and you've got a disgusting colored tattoo.
Ugh,
shaded. Yeah, okay. Let's move on. I could go all day talking about hand poke. It's like one of my favorite things. Okay, this is a good one. Very heartfelt here.
Okay.
Kind of looking forward to just seeing these pictures of people we haven't seen in such a long time.
I think it might just kind of give a little bit of like closure.
I'm a little bit nervous.
So here we have a man and a woman who are, there's kind of like sad music behind them, like just a lone guitar string soaring through the airspace, seeing photos of old people. And what do you think? Is this about tattoos?
It could be. I'm trying to think what else it could be about.
I got one more clue. Here we go.
All right.
Hopefully this isn't one of those things that in concept.
It sounded like a good idea, but now after looking at it, we're like, ooh.
No, I think it'll be fine.
They're going to get one of those tattoos where when two people stand together, it makes a larger image.
Hey, yeah. Because I was thinking they're thinking about it too hard if it's just like a memorial tattoo or
right.
tattoos of each other, you know. But
well, on BuzzFeed, you don't just get a tattoo. There's more weight to it. It's way more than just a tattoo on BuzzFeed. So now this video, this video is called Divorce Couple Looks at Their Wedding Photos.
Things were good and will be again. They are good.
It's really, I recommend watching that. It really makes me think about my own marriage. The thing I think is funny about BuzzFeed is that it's coming from the point of view of people who are very, they'd probably be the kind of person who are quick to scold someone for being judgmental or, you know, they want to, it's like the younger, liberal, open-minded point of view. But I feel like they're creating a dangerous narrative in that all of these videos, whether it's about getting your toenails painted a weird color, to getting tattooed, to like making divorced people sit in a room together, all they ever focus on is how it makes you feel and how people react to it.
Oh, yeah.
So when people get tattooed in real life, not in BuzzFeed life, but in my experience, I feel that customers a lot of times, and you may not feel this because people are like seeking you out and they might be a little more informed of a person.
Yeah, but I know what you mean. Like they definitely, they want to be safe in their choice. They're already kind of going out on a limb to get tattooed.
Yeah.
Is that what you mean? Like,
well, I mean that people, they almost don't even care about the tattoo.
But they want the reaction.
Yes.
Right. And they definitely don't want a negative reaction.
Right.
So they will bring, that's when they bring you like 25 pieces of reference from the internet and they pinpoint all these details that they have to have and it can't be like this. And
yeah.
And they're just like micromanaging this thing down to like minimum risk, you know?
Yeah.
It's never like excitement and joy and passion for art or anything like that. It's like, how can I get this picture in the safest way possible with the maximum likeage, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Even if it's not, they're not going to post it, it's still, their friend group needs to approve.
Right.
It's a tribal thing, you know, like you can't do anything that...
Because people are so judgmental.
Yeah.
I see it a lot and people will bring friends and you bring a drawing out to them to show them and then they don't react. You show it to them and they look. And they look what their friend says. And then you have to like make one drawing that pleases four people.
Yeah.
And then put it on the fifth person.
Or the classic, the guy gets like crazy tiger, half sleeve, drawing's really gnarly. And the girlfriend's there and she's like, I want the face to look nicer, you know? And then they have to make it like sleepy, you know?
Yeah.
It's like,
can you close his mouth?
He should be laying down if he's going to have that expression, you know?
Right. Yeah. It's such a weird thing that people just don't have confidence in the decision for something as personal as getting a tattoo. And usually the people that are giving them the opinions, not always, but usually, they're not going to be in their life for much longer.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why Tribal was so popular. Black Panthers, you know, not, you know, like those things are great. I even like Tribal, you know, on some level, but
yeah,
it was safe. You know, it was like, okay, it doesn't mean anything. I can just get it. It means tattoo. It doesn't mean anything else.
Yeah.
You know, and so it was just design work. And the design work's super popular now still, you know, like the dots and the flourishes and...
Which I can appreciate that. And a lot of times people think that a tattooer will think that they're lame for getting stuff like that. They almost do it with a disclaimer. They're like, yeah, like they say, I'm basic. That's what people say now. I'm basic. I'm so basic because they're getting like a little swirly tattoo. But to me, that's a cooler tattoo that's going to be cool forever because it's just something that they like how it looks.
Right.
When you get like a lyric from a song that's means a lot to you right now, it's not always going to hold the same meaning. It's too literal,
right?
For in my opinion.
No, I agree.
And and I think that's why a lot of people get memorial tattoos is because it's built-in justification just for getting tattooed.
Right. That makes a lot of sense.
So they like force all this stuff. So sometimes they'll almost get a great tattoo and then they'll like tack on a lot of text around it, so it looks like a t-shirt design or something.
Well, exactly, yeah. And that was the thing with the 90s. It was like, you know, everybody's pushing crazy ideas and it was risky, you know. Mm-hmm. But now it's like, I could boil down what I do. If I don't push something, like push the envelope and like put up drawings of stuff that I don't normally get to do, which is the original idea behind these drawings, not these ones, but other ones,
yep.
I would never get to do them because people are going to ask me for the same seven things, you know?
Yeah, they're going to see the things that you do that they like and just want that.
Yeah, and it's going to be like, I can get a dragon or a tiger, and if it's done correctly, no one's going to say, why did you get that? Because those mean tattoo now, you know? And that's cool.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. But that's a good direction. But if you want to do any idea these days, you almost have to present it first and make it a thing. Mm-hmm. And then they'll go, oh, that's a thing now. I can do it, you know, which is fine. You know,
I think that's the way that most people have gone, where if people want something a little different or whatever, they'll just say, oh, do you have some drawings I can look through? Like people want to pick something that already exists. Whereas not even that many years ago, people just wanted the custom thing. They didn't want to pick something that...
Well, years ago, it was they didn't really know it was possible. And so kids would be like, they would just be trying to think of the gnarliest idea, like gnarlier than their friends. Like, okay, pink flamingo getting taken out by a crocodile with like, you know, leg sleeve, you know, like make it crazy. Right. And if they asked for a tiger and you made it crazy, they didn't know it was supposed to not be crazy. So they'd be like, yeah, it looks amazing. They had no idea. I think about that with Ed Hardy, because he talks about how he would like kind of force the person to collaborate. Like, what are you into, when he would draw a tattoo back in the 70s? But I was thinking like, there must have been, in my mind, I wasn't there, you know, it must have been kind of easy because people had no idea what was possible. So he'd be like, they would not have any preconceived notion, right?
Right.
So they were already going for something weird, you know, so he can make it as weird as he wanted to. And they'd be like, yeah, whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. And there was still kind of that going on in the 90s. But if that's the value of Instagram for me, is not only to kind of push the private studio, like here's a big transition, you know, I'm here now. Everybody knows what's going on. It's also, I can, if I have an idea, even if I don't have someone to tattoo it on, I can draw it and post it. And there's people out there who go, oh, that's cool, you know, or it will find those people that are willing to get something a little different. I don't utilize it for that as much as I should, and I will more, you know. I've just kind of been caught up getting set up here. But I mean, that's, you can steer the ship of what you want to do that way, using social media, just by putting it up there first and making it a thing, and then people go, oh, it's cool.
Right.
I want to get that.
Yeah, definitely.
But they have to see it first sometimes.
Yeah.
These days.
Yeah, more often than not. And I think they want to see it first.
I can't believe I didn't know what BuzzFeed was. I've always heard about it. I never cared to look. And this is like a whole world.
This is what it is.
Craziness.
It's just stuff like that. They probably look at whatever's trending on Google and they're like, oh, okay, fidget spinners. We're going to fidget spin for 1 week straight and see what our peers think.
I thought it was just like Reddit or something, you know, like some place where people talk about stuff.
I think it started as like an article thing, and then their videos got a lot of attention.
Yeah.
I saw when I was gathering these clips last night that I'm pretty sure they have like six different channels for different things or whatever, but the main BuzzFeed channel total has like 13 billion views.
Oh my God.
Cha-ching! So of course they're going to make these stupid ass videos all the time. And imagine if you're 18 right now and this is what you know about tattoos.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
What, like, the fuck?
I don't know that I'd be interested.
Of course
it just seems
not.
Like another thing that, like,
you thought Ink Master was not setting a cool example. Like, this is what people are taking in about tattoos currently. This is like their motivation to either get or not get tattooed.
Yeah.
It kind of sucks.
It makes me feel like I'm in the right direction with just kind of hiding out and tattooing people that, you know.
I just feel like with so much
find me.
Stuff like this, the bottom's got to fall out eventually. And there has to be people that are seeking something of more substance. Because all this stuff is so surface level, when all they consider is someone's reaction. Like, not, they never really talk about, how does it make me feel if I got covered in tattoos for a day? Maybe he's like, yeah, it's kind of cool. Like, I feel cool.
Well, the thing is, there's no variety to not being tattooed. You're just yourself. You're just blank.
Sounds
but tattooing,
terrible.
There's options. You know, you're, well, I don't want to be tattooed that way. I'll be tattooed this way. Or this is popular, so I'll do it this way. You know what I mean? Like, to be blank is like, all right, I'm blank. And All right, now what? You know?
Yeah.
You got to figure out something else to do. You can't just stay blank.
Well, you could. My wife doesn't have any tattoos.
Well, yeah, a lot of people do, and it's like a natural, you know. But if you're trying to make a statement against or with society, you've got to, you know, like I'm sure your wife doesn't have not have tattoos just to make a statement. She probably just doesn't.
Maybe,
really.
Maybe at this point.
Maybe, yeah. Well, that probably came later, right?
Right.
But you know what I mean? Like, I'm sure she just didn't want them, right? Like,
yeah. Which I can't relate to.
Right. But, yeah, I don't know. Like, you, if, there's no variety with just being blank.
Right.
It's
yeah,
like,
I guess there's a million ways to be tattooed and only one way not to be.
Yeah. And it's like saying like, well, people are going to search for more than social media interactions. Like, well, yeah, but when, you know, how many days until they go back to their phone and like see what they missed, you know?
Right.
It's like hard to give it up, you know, especially if you grew up in that thing. Yeah, you know?
That is true. I think if I was trying to stand out at this point, I'd have to get eyelash extensions like in one of the other clips that I skipped over. The two guys get eyelash extensions.
I would have never guessed that
one. They just look into a mirror like this. And they say, oh my God, let's go show everyone in the office.
My God, this is what people do when they're too rich. You know what I mean? Like when you're in a Western society where you don't have to worry about how to feed yourself or get clean water, you can literally devote all of your time to stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And they would argue that they're like exploring social topics, but they're just putting fake eyelashes on people. And they're like, let's go see if anyone looks at them funny on the street. And then we'll call them bigots and close-minded. Let's get them.
Entrapment.
Yeah. I love it. I love BuzzFeed. I love making fun of BuzzFeed. Let's be honest. It's just too good. Well, that was a fun little exploration. I'm glad we went on that journey together here today.
It was enlightening for sure.
Right. Yeah, you'll never think about it the same way.
No.
Now you know that you definitely shouldn't spend your time clicking on BuzzFeed if you see encounter it in any way.
It wouldn't be fun now without the setup that you, the way you presented it.
Right. The suspense definitely helps. Right. Yeah. It would just be a video of some guy wearing high heels for 6 hours and then seeing what everyone in the office thinks. Oh man, where do we even go from here? Is there anything else you want to touch on? We've covered a lot of ground here today.
No, nothing specific.
Even though we're talking negatively about some things, I feel a lot of positivity that comes from having these discussions.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think that we're trying to point out people's faults or pointing out, people that we're trying to suggest are doing wrong. But I think it's important to kind of know where things stack up against each other. And personally, making light of the goofier things in the world, to me, I feel like you kind of take hold of it that way. And it doesn't bother me as much in the past year. Like when I made the first Claude Cloud video, I was so fired up based on a couple Russian kids I saw on Instagram that's all based off of. And it was all I could think about. And I was like instantly like writing a story in my head, having never really made a video like that. And it just all came together. And since then, I don't feel like charged up. I don't feel like, I don't know. I don't even know how to compare it.
Get it out of your system?
Yeah, yeah. I think I got it out of my system.
Well, sometimes I watch, you know, if you watch Portlandia.
Yeah.
You know, living in Williamsburg for a few years and tattooing people in New York, it was interchangeable. Like the stuff they were making fun of was happening definitely in Williamsburg, Brooklyn. And you know, I can definitely had moments where I was like, make it look stupid. Cause it is, you know, like show how dumb it is, you know? But yeah, I don't really feel that way anymore. It's just funny stuff. But like, there was a point where I was like, I get like gratification out of them, like exposing it,
right?
Like how lame these people are.
Yeah,
but I think I'm a happier person these years, you know, these later years. So I don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah,
but I know what you mean. Yeah,
it's almost like you can just turn it into something that is positive because you can, if anything, just get a couple laughs and a little joy out of exploring how other people do.
Claude Cloud, is he a cool guy?
He's hard to work with, but.
Seemed like a nice, he's like pretty soft spoken. A cool car and Maserati.
Yeah. Pimping ain't easy.
Yeah.
It's funny because looking back on it, I just see a lot of myself in that character, which is, I don't know if I should be proud of that or embarrassed. It was like just the natural character. Like if anyone was put on the spot and we're like, all right, make up a character right now, I think we would all do something that's like not too far off right. from ourselves.
You'd have to relate.
Right. Yeah. So if that's like, if that's what that is for me, then I guess that kind of sucks. I don't know.
Love that guy.
Good times. Good times. All right. Well, I'd say it's time to wrap it up. I do thank you very much for sitting down with me today and talking.
Yeah, my pleasure.
This is a great conversation. I've already said it, but I was really looking forward to this one, coming down here and checking out your studio, seeing what's doing.
Yeah, you're always welcome.
Thanks. Yeah. I'll be back tomorrow just hanging out.
And, cool. Sounds good.
If you're going to be here like drawing later, like maybe I can just like hang around and, you know, I'll stay out of the way.
Yeah. At least 2 feet away.
Yeah. And I'm sure your family won't mind that I'm sleeping in my car in front of the house. I'm like a vampire, man. You're just fucked up.
Thank you to our sponsors, Lucky Supply and River Valley Printing Co. And to this week's guest, Chris O'Donnell. You can follow Chris on Instagram at COdonnell_NYC and check out his full portfolio at chrisodonnelltattoo.com. And also, I highly recommend that you get tattooed by him. I'm Andrew Storitz, and you can follow me at Andrew Storitz on Instagram. I just launched the website for this podcast where you can find everything you need to know all in one place. Show notes, where to listen, video clips, and now full video episodes. Check it all out at booksclosedpodcast.com. I hope you're all enjoying the show as much as I am while making it. Please subscribe wherever you're listening from, leave a rating, a review, unless you don't like it, then skip the review part. I'll be back next week, and we can do it all over again. What do you say? And until then, I leave you with an ancient proverb that has served me very well over the years. A diamond with a flaw is worth more than a tattooer with no followers. Thank you.